Welcome to a special podcast from the Church of England. This week I'm at Leicester Cathedral, where the remains of King Richard III have been reburied. Also this week we hear from the Church of England's first husband and wife bishop team, as Canon Alison White is named as the next Bishop of Hull. Her husband is Assistant Bishop of Newcastle, and we'll also hear from the next Bishop of Gloucester. I'm standing outside Leicester Cathedral, which has seen 20,000 people queuing to file past Richard III's coffin during this week. He died in battle 500 years ago, was found under a car park, and has now been laid to rest in the cathedral. The service took place in front of 700 people, including 200 members of the public, who took part in a ballot to be here. The actor Benedict Cumberbatch read a specially commissioned poem by the poet laureate Carolan Duffy, and the Archbishop of Canterbury led the prayers. Before the ceremony, I talked to two people central to the story of the discovery and reinterment of King Richard III.
I'm Wendy Daldig, and my involvement with this project and with Richard is that I'm his great-great-great-great-great-niece. I'm 19th generation niece of Richard III. I'm actually directly descended from Anne of York, who is his eldest sister. I was contacted by two people at the University of Leicester, firstly by a rather strange email from Professor Kevin Schurer. The following day, I got a phone call from Dr. Tura King. I really had no idea what was going on. It all seemed really rather bizarre, and I was a bit suspicious, to be honest, because it's not every day you get told that you might be descendant and could you help with that project. They already knew about Michael Ibsen and his family, but they needed a completely independent line.
You literally had no idea that there was this connection?
Not at all.
And how did you feel when he called you?
That's a million-dollar question, isn't it? I went from suspicion, because I just didn't believe this was real. I still couldn't get my head around the fact that I was the only person. I thought they were approaching about 40 or 50 people to see who would take part. And then when he told me I was the only one, that's a stunning, quite literally, that's stunning. You're sort of phased, you're fused.
We're standing outside the cathedral as they rehearse for tomorrow's service with the army practicing their marching.
It's impressive, isn't it?
Hundreds of people outside. How do you feel? Is it all a bit surreal?
It's extremely surreal. Absolutely surreal. It feels like it's happening to somebody else. I have to keep reminding me this is actually really going on at the moment. I suspect I'll look back in a few weeks' time and think, actually, yes, it did happen. But I'm just trying to open up and embrace myself to as much as possible, because this is a totally unique experience. I won't have anything like this again in my life, I'm sure. And then, you know, at the end of the weekend, I go back to London, life as normal, back to Earth with a bump.
But still with the knowledge that you're related to Richard III.
Yes, I've known that for a while, but as I said, it feels like it's happening to somebody else. It does take a long time to absorb that. Although that's actually fascinating and important for my family, it doesn't make a difference as to how I feel about myself or who I am. I'm still the same person as I was before. There's no difference in that respect. But I'm just overwhelmed by the reaction of everybody here. And people have been so positive and warm and friendly. I think it's probably nature of people in Leicester anyway. But it's been magnified so many times. I mean, there's been such a positive spirit. Something about Richard's been really bringing the best out in people. And there's a real sense of coming together. And I'm seeing it in tiny, minuscule ways between individuals. And I'm seeing it within groups. A very cohesiveness going on within the community as well. And I've made an effort to go out and start to speak to people. People who've been involved with doing things like the security staff and the police. I've spoken to Rosie, the lovely florist who's doing the flowers. I've spoken to people in the crowds. I went to an interfaith meeting last night and met different people in the different faith groups around Leicester, and that was the poem, because they were talking about what Richard means to them and their communities, and I was fascinated by that. And I think I've come from a point of where I'm thinking of Richard as my family member and having it very close to me personally, to now wanting to see what he means to everybody, because clearly he means so much to so many people, because so many people have come and are taking such an acute interest and are paying their respects, and I think they're also interested in being part of history, which is great, and it's opening up their interest in history, which is also great, because that's what's happened with me, and it's a whole new world really. So
I'm Jackie Binns. I made the coffin pall for Richard III, which has taken 7 months, starting on August the 5th and completing on 27th of February.
How did you get involved?
I was invited to a presentation 2 years ago, and I took along a design which I followed a brief for, and it was unanimously accepted by the team. I'd only done one presentation before in my life, because I don't give talks and I don't do presentations, and it was an unmitigated disaster. But I thought, a coffin pull for Richard III is so exciting and such a wonderful thing that I might be involved in. I thought it was worth making the effort and trying out the presentation.
Now, it's really beautiful. Can you describe it for me? Because you'll do a much better job than I will.
Well, there's quite a few layers to it. There's themes running through it. But it's black velvet with modern figures on one side and figures from 1485 on the other side, interspersed with seraphims all the way around the coffin, all surrounding the arms of Richard III, which is the centre of the design.
How did it feel? Clearly you've been working on it for 7 months, so you know what it was going to look like, but how did it feel when you saw it on the coffin?
Overwhelming, yes.
What did you think? Can you describe your feelings?
No, not yet. Maybe in a couple of weeks, but I'm still here, and it's been absolutely extraordinary event.
Had you made any before? Because it's not something that we're so terribly familiar with these days.
I've only made one pull, and that was for a child's coffin for Warwick Hospital about 15 years ago, and that was white with modern figures on. I feel that tomorrow is the big day, and I'm very excited, and I'm really looking forward to it, whereas the Compline service on Sunday, I was holding my breath because I wasn't sure how it was going to go and what the reaction to the pall was going to be.
Have you heard any people's reactions?
On the internet, yes. And the clergy at the cathedral are extremely pleased with the work.
Jackie Binn's cloth will be put on permanent display in the cathedral. For photos of the week's events and more, visit the website www.kingrichardinleicester.com. There have been two new bishops announced this week. Canon Alison White will be the new suffragan bishop of Hull. As well as being the second female bishop in the Church of England, Canon White is the first bishop to be married to another bishop. Her husband Frank is assistant bishop of Newcastle.
I feel absolutely amazed. It's such a wonderful, feels like a wonderful gift, huge adventure, setting out into this great place amongst fantastic people. Absolutely lovely. Part of the world I don't know well yet at all, so that would be good too. And really trusting that this is God's call to me, step by step, into whatever lies ahead. It's got a great story, Carl, hasn't it? I mean, I'm just beginning to pick up little bits about that and the possibilities, the potential of the place. I love that video that was done in support of the bid for the City of Culture. I mean, what a wonderful time to be coming to be Bishop of Hull. It couldn't be better. And at the same time, recognising that it's a place that's got an awful lot of challenge. There's some real issues we need to be working with together wherever we can so that people can flourish.
And of course I have to ask you, because you are only the second female bishop that's been appointed.
Yes.
Are you having any thoughts about that? I mean, this is, you know, it's the start of the new way.
It is a new way, and I think it's been a long time in coming. And there are so many people have prayed and hoped and thought about the way God is taking us into the future. And in the best sense, we never know quite what that future is going to be. I certainly would say that for myself. But I'm absolutely confident that he calls us together, men and women, and it's when we are working together that we flourish. And that's what God wants, that we flourish.
Well, I think we haven't quite got used to it yet, as today is the first point at which we can announce it to the public. We're doing a lot of thinking about how our lives will be able to work out. And we've got some plans, and we're looking forward to being able to work those out. But I'm very committed to Alison's ministry and delighted that she's been made Bishop of Hull. And I look forward to her working that ministry out in York Diocese and me continuing to work out my ministry in Newcastle Diocese. So we think the train companies will do quite well out of us. The great thing about marriage is that we're learning to love one another. and in that way also being able to learn to love God. So the business of being together in marriage is one of the great kind of creation desire of God, that humanity should reflect the character of God himself. So I think that also applies to ordination. So we are learning, I think, through our marriage, how we might also be able to live as ordained people, and in that way to try to bring honour to God and joy to our neighbours. I was a bit surprised, I must say, when the news began to filter in our direction. I've always believed that Alison has a call which would be fulfilled ultimately as a bishop. But of course it's come at a very early stage, while I'm still in a very busy job in the Newcastle Diocese and will continue to be. So there are some challenges that we need to face, and ways of being able to work out together. But we're great friends, as well as being ordained together and of course being married to one another. So we're looking forward to being able to learn from each other and share stories along the way.
And in the best sense, it has made us laugh a very great deal. And it's nice to be able to do that now with friends and family. And the great thing too is we've always found great strength in our prayer together. And that, I think that's just got deeper and deeper the more we've gone on through the whole journey. And my goodness, it's needed to be deep for to take this on now.
Archdeacon Rachel Trewick is the first diocesan female bishop in the Church of England.
I'm particularly looking forward to getting to know our schools and exploring how we can engage even more deeply with the children and young people across this diocese. It's my hope and prayer that in the coming months and years, we'll grow in our confidence to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others in this diocese. As we build on the past, I hope we will explore new ways of connecting with people's concerns in both rural and urban contexts, as we seek to serve the common good and share Jesus' love and hope, desiring the well-being of all people and places. I'm looking forward to exploring with you how different parts of the diocese can deepen their understanding of each other as we continue to join in with what God is doing in growing his kingdom. What I offer to you is myself, called by Jesus Christ to serve in this diocese. I have much to learn and hopefully much to offer too. I'm thankful to God for Bishop Michael's ministry and for all that has been planted and watered for good in this diocese. And I hope and pray that as I join you, I will do so with fresh eyes, open ears, and an open heart, that with you we will continue to seek God's vision and leading, sustaining all that's good, and discerning together where new things might emerge.
That's it for this week's podcast. Don't forget you can visit the Richard III website for photos and blogs from the week of commemorations. I'm Gillian Moody. Thanks for listening.